Okay. So everybody can hear me, I guess? All right. Well, my name is Ellen Leonard, and I'm a Microsoft MVP, PMP, and a few other things. And I'm an independent consultant for Microsoft Project and Project Server. And this is tips and tricks using Project 2013 Desktop. Now, I got a question for everybody. I want you to know that I was one of the developers of the, and I was the lead writer for the Project 2013 certification test. Well, guess what? When you work on the test, they don't give you the certification. I had to go out and take the certification test. So my question to you is, how many of you think I passed? Okay. I'm still trying to figure out if I cheated or not. And I don't know why this is advancing on its own. But I'm an implementer. I've written a couple of books on this. Tech editor for many of the reference books. You might have known my name through MPUG, Ask the Expert column. And since I've been teaching Project for at least 15 years, my estimate is that I've probably taught it about 350 times. So hopefully I'll be able to help you. Or if you have some questions, I'll be able to answer them for you. And if not, I'm sure there's other experts in the room that can help us. So when I was asked to do tips and tricks, I said, okay, what's a tip? And a tip is learning about a feature of Microsoft Project you might not have known about. And then a trick is maybe using features in a slightly different way. So as I go through, I'm not sure what's a tip and trick, and I'm going to let you try to figure that out, all right? And hopefully it will be helpful. Now, I have given, and I want to thank Bonnie for the help here. I've given everybody a copy of the keystrokes that I'm going to be doing. These will not, oh, is there an extra one? Do we all have them? Oops. Because I kind of need one. Sorry. Got an extra? Thank you. Just so I remember what to tell you guys. All right. So these handouts, if you didn't get one, I'll put the extras in the Microsoft booth. They are uploaded to the conference website. They are also available on my website in the articles area. And I guess I'm saying it'll be downloadable as a PDF, and then you can take it back to your company and use it there. It's just every tips and trick presentation I ever went to, I went out and couldn't remember a thing afterwards, even though I said that was cool stuff. So what I'm trying to say is this is a way for you to remember it, and you don't have to be writing furiously. So I just want you to know our topic list will include some tips and tricks about the ribbon and the quick launch bar, Gantt chart options features, and I've got a special formatting thing I've been working on I wanted to show you, creating new tables and views quickly on the fly, grouping tasks by time period. I want you to know this is, for all the classes I teach, this is the favorite thing that ever comes around as people just love it. The new window, a lot of people are concerned about how do I combine projects, how do I go ahead and make these links across the projects. Creating the customized dashboards, I was going to go ahead and demo that for you. Timeline views, I've got a couple of ideas about how you could do a different timeline view for each phase, and I want to show you how to do that. And then just something that I think a lot of people are not aware of, I thought I'd mention, which was all about what negative slack is and how important it is within your project and how you should go ahead and be aware of it. All right? So with that in mind, I'm getting out of the PowerPoint. We don't need it anymore, okay, guys? And we're going to spend the rest of the time in Project. Now, since they were playing around, I got to open some files here. All right? So these are just, you might even recognize them, straight Microsoft templates. And I just took those and thought we'd go ahead and use those in here. Where did it go? And they all left. So I've just opened a couple of files. Oops, do I have them? Yep. All right. So the first thing I wanted to show you is, and a lot of my clients like this, so I wanted to show it to you, that, you know, we had the old version of 2007, 2003, and a lot of you are, you know, trying to make that transition. How many of you are still on the older versions, just transitioning over right now? All right, the first thing I want you to see is on the top of this handout, there is a link. Now, I'm not on the internet, so I'm really sorry I can't go there. But on there is the best thing I've ever seen about making that jump from the older versions to the newer versions. It's actually a little program Microsoft wrote, and it looks like the old version, and you click where the button is, and it actually flips around and shows you where the button is in the new version. So anybody who is making that leap in conversion, I think this would be a very helpful thing. Now, in putting the ribbon up there, they improved it. It used to take 2 clicks to get to something. Now it takes 5, right? So what I did is I created this toolbar called My Button with what I thought was the most frequently used buttons that I would use. The other thing that most people are not aware of, and actually I'm going to bring PowerPoint back up just for a minute. When you go ahead and get the software, you have the short quick launch bar, and it's sitting up here. Well, there's a little trick that if you put it below, you can put a lot more buttons. On top, I think the restriction in 2010 was like 10 buttons, and in 13 they opened it up a little bit. But if you put it underneath, you can get, you know, like 40 buttons on there. So what I do is I create this toolbar button, and I went ahead and added what I think were some very important buttons to my quick launch and put it down here. Now, the nice part about this is that you can export this and give it to somebody else. So I'm going to show you now how to import it, and you've all got on the top of the sheet my email address. If you write to me, I will send you this bar, and you can just import it yourself, and you will cut down on a lot of clicking, and I'm going to say remembering where they put it. Okay, so it just makes it a lot easier for you. And to import it, I would go to the file options, I go to the customized ribbon, I come down here to the export import, go down here to the import, then I need to find it, and mine is on my desktop right here, and it's a file called projectcustomization.exportedui, and I just say open, and I'm going to replace what I've got, and now I'll say okay. And in doing that, you would get this customized ribbon with frequently used buttons on it, and you'd also get this quick launch to look just like this under here. Now, if you don't like it called My Buttons, you can always change the name of it. Something like come in here, and I just come here, and if I right-click on it, I can go ahead and rename it and call it, like Ellen's buttons or whatever. All right, there you are. And now when I say okay, you see how I've got my name up there. Some frequently used buttons that I thought were really good and that are on this quick launch bar are scroll to task, because you use that on every view no matter what bar you're on. Print preview. I really like having the outline right here. This is very cool, to be able to go outline levels up and down no matter where you are. Clear filter, which is really good, and then, of course, clear group. Both of those are very, very helpful. One thing I do put on this up here is split the view, remove the split. People who are new to it, it's very, very helpful. The one thing that I had to put everywhere was scroll to task. I use it constantly. But the clear to group thing, if you looked at the regular view bar, there was no clear group here. You always had to pull this down and come down and say clear group. So I've got the button right here to clear the group, but if I go to my toolbar, here's group, and clear to group is right next to it. And here's filter, and clear the filter is right next to it. So I thought that was pretty helpful. I wanted to point out some helpful options for you. So let's go back into the options. And one thing which is kind of interesting is this comes with the default of Gantt chart with timeline. Have you ever noticed that? So now you have a blank timeline. You're starting a new project. You don't even have any tasks. How can you even have anything up there? Frankly, yeah, I think it uses up too much real estate. Turn on timeline when you want it. It doesn't have to be on there all the time. So just come in here and change your default view from with timeline to regular Gantt chart. Every class I teach, people want to know where do I set the date format. So here it is right here. Another thing that is very, very useful, and I like it a lot, I go to display, and there's this thing called the entry bar. Now, let me pull this down. See this thing here with the check mark and the X? This is the same thing you get in Excel, where you click on a field and the formula is above it. This is the same thing, and it gives you sort of the feel of doing some of the things the way you do it in Excel, and I think it's very, very helpful. So I like to turn that on as well. I'm going to turn this off. A lot of people are not aware that if you go down to the bottom, there's a whole other set of options down here. This controls what's going on that bottom green bar down there. Something else I want to just mention that occurs in this software that I think should be noted is we've got the scale down here, so I can bring it in and I can go different directions with it, right? But when I do that, many times the size gets a little off. Anybody ever notice that? The size gets a little off. So what happens is if you go to view, show me maybe the days, if I double-click in here, look at it, it's at a density of 155. So what do you think? Just put it back to 100, and you might get a better view out of it. So, you know, most people are not aware that you can go ahead and do that, and I think that would be very helpful. Another thing that I've realized over the years is that a lot of people don't know that there are drawing tools. You can actually do things like draw pictures, point to stuff, maybe put a text box on here, and, you know, maybe you need more resources. And now you can go ahead and have that there when you're either printing it or whether you're showing it at a presentation, whatever you're doing. So that's kind of neat. Let's go to, another thing. I'm going to move this over. And let's say I would like to put something like the, let's do it this way. I'm going to go, do I have notes in here? No. Many people ask about, well, what about these columns? How can I make them automatically wrap? Sometimes like this, you see how it gets to look like this, and you want it to automatically wrap, and you can do it. You just have to know where it is. So here's the entry table. We're on that. I'll right-click. I'll go down to More Tables, and I will edit that. And then I find the field that I'm interested in, which in this case is the resource names. And look at this, text wrapping, no. There is not a button like you have in Excel. I'm really sorry. It is here. Now, whether it's in there somewhere and I can dig it out, I haven't really tried, but I want you to know you can text wrap anything you want in here. The only one that is set to wrap automatically is the name field. If you ever put the notes field in any view, you might want to go ahead and wrap that one as well. All right? So that's something maybe not everybody knew about. Now I can do this, and we'll see that it's wrapped all the way down. Many times you're working on a view and you say, you know, I want to add some columns, I want to do this, I want to do that, but I know I'm going to sort of mess up my original view, right? So how about if you did this first? So we're on the entry view. How about if I went to view, tables, And look at that, save tables as a new table. So I would save it as a new table. I'm just going to call it new table. I'll click OK. And now let's say I want to put some other columns in here. I want to insert work maybe. I want to do anything else I want. But look at this. I actually have something called new table, and it'll actually stay there. And I can go back to it. Now, what you can do also with that, and I'm going to go back to our regular Gantt chart here, and I'll go back to the entry table. Let's say I want to create a view as well. Not only would I like to create a new view, but then I want to be able to maybe have that new table in it, something like that. So I'm going to come down, and you see where it says Save View. So let's do this first. I'm going to go to my new table, and let's say I want it on the Gantt chart here. I'll click this down. I'll save the view, and I'm going to call this maybe my new view. And so not only do I have a new table, but I also have a new view that I can go back to very easily. And you can repeat this over and over again. Now, what they added in 2010, and it is in 2013, is an option that says when I create new views and tables and groups and filters, have it automatically put into the global value for me. The global value will allow these objects to be available in other projects. So I'll come down here to Options. I'm going to go to Advanced, and the keystrokes are right here for you. I'll come down, and here it is. Automatically add new views, tables, filters, and groups to my global. So if that's not on, whatever you're creating will just stay in the file that you have. If this is on, not only will they be in the file, but they will also be in your global, which will allow them to be available for future projects that you might open. So this is a very cool thing that was added in 2010, and I think it's very, very helpful. I know this is probably something you all know about, but I can't tell you how many times it's almost weekly, I get a template from somebody or a project schedule, and they have taken task one and made it the highest level of the work breakdown structure because they're looking for something called a project summary task. They're not aware that you can just turn it on. So what I'm trying to do is just remind you, you just turn it on. Don't try to create it yourself. It's you're losing functionality. You're also losing, it's expecting the first summary task of the work of the project to be level one. If you don't use it, what happens is you lose that ability. And there's a lot of things, like there's filters for high-level tasks. They're talking about level one summaries, and this is all pre-programmed into here. So please use your project summary task. I find it extremely helpful also if you're going to combine projects. All right? Yep. Oh, Nina. Absolutely. Nina, can I just repeat that for what Nina had just told me? And Nina had remind me, is it under advanced? There is an option that says every time I create a project, just automatically turn on the project summary task for me. Is it in here or is it in the other one? Is it in, no, it's not in display. Is it under schedule? One of them says automatically have the project summary task, but I can't remember where it is because I think they moved it on me. Do you remember where it is, Bonnie? Let's try it. Nope. But it's in here somewhere. Bottom? Top? Somewhere in here? So did somebody see it? Ah, there it is. Hey, We MVPs know it's in there, but we just don't know where. All right, I want to show you what I have found to be one of the most useful things that I tell my classes, and they just love it. And this is it. So here we are on this project, and I want to know about all the tasks that are going to occur this week or next week, or, you know, because when you're getting a project done, you've got multiple parallel paths, and you just need a picture of what's going on right now. And then you can also prepare for what should have been done this week, what should start this week, what about next week. So you just come to start, and I'm going to group this by weeks. And then I come up here, and I go outline level one. And now I get what I like to call, and you can see I've still got these in here, so let me kill them. I like to call sort of our pretty waterfall. And it gives me this. But what it gives me more than anything is, well, what tasks are scheduled to start next week? And I'll fold those up. How about the week after that? And on and on. And I like to do this in two different ways. And one of them is to look at the start like this. Now, here's where this clear group comes in. See how easy that was? And then I like to do it again based on finish weeks. So now what is scheduled to finish next week? And again, I get this nice waterfall over here, and I can see how much work I need to be watching. Now let me add one more element to this that I think would be very helpful for you. So we're going to put it this way. I'm going to come back over here, and I'm going to go to the resource sheet, and I want you to see that I have some groups there. All right? I have actually created added information to the resource group. In the resource group, there's only five fields that are actually populated that you can access on the task side when you go ahead and create an assignment. And resource group is one of them. There's a real off-the-wall one, and I just used it at a client last week because they wanted two pieces of information. They not only wanted what the group was, but they needed the location of the group. So let me just show you what group does. So we'll come back over here. And I'm going to insert the column called resource group. And now what's really neat about this is the resource group doing the work. We can come in and say, all right, let's group this by week. I'll open up one of these, though, and then I could actually maybe filter it by I'm only interested in certain resource groups of what's going to happen next week. Now, I'm going to be showing you in just a minute, you can actually combine multiple projects and get this same thing across your multiple projects. And I think when you're trying to manage these big projects, this is extremely, extremely helpful. Now, the oddball one that nobody knows about, and I actually had to dig this up and find this one, I don't have it set up in here right now, but there is actually a field, and you're just going to laugh at the name, but it's actually called phonetics. This is only used in the Japanese version. How many of you are running the Japanese version of the software? All right. So let's just say, like A, B, C. All right, A, B, C. All right. Let me do this. I probably just should have done this in the first place. Okay. Now I'm going to come back over here to the Gantt chart, and I want you to see if I insert the column called resource phonetics. Do you see how I get the ABCs coming through? So now let's say you use the word location. You know, this is the location. This is a skill. This is any other piece of information that would be helpful for you to know as soon as you made an assignment, not only the resource group, but one more piece of information. And I have found it to be quite helpful in a lot of situations. Only you don't want it to say resource phonetic. You can go down to field name, and maybe you want to change this and call it location or something. Oops, I'm on caps lock there. All right, So now it at least looks a little bit better. But if somebody hides the column and tries to put it in, they got to find resource phonetics, frankly. All right, I'm going to hide these things. Now, a lot of people are not aware, this is, again, a frequently asked question that I get, is how do I combine my projects? And there is actually three different ways to do it. But what I like to do a lot of is how to combine projects on the fly just to be able to get some reporting. So I suggest, and this is why I've got Software Development 2 open and I've got Software Development 1 open. There they are. So I open whatever files I want to combine. I'm going to go to View, New Window. Now, if you're on 10, it's on the project bar. It's not on the view bar. They threw me off on that one. I say, all right, what projects are we talking about? I go ahead and say, OK. And what it has done is opened up another file, but this has it opened up with a link. This is a real inserted project. If I go ahead now and turn on the project summary task, project one up here, this is actually looking at information across both projects. I can change things in here that will actually reflect to both projects. I can come by now across the two projects, and now I can get my grouping by weeks. See that? Across both projects. But then the question is, well, what projects do these belong to? So how about if you inserted the column, actually called project, and now I get to see what project they're in. One thing I do a lot is create just another short field, maybe called project short name or something like that, and you might like that better than the full name. At times, particularly for these combined projects, you might see the full path, which could go on for about, what, 12 screens, right? So how about if you created another field actually called short project? Now, I actually put out here, let me kill this a second. I created a column called location that I populated in both of the projects. Now, to make this work, because now I can actually, you know, do something like group on this field across both projects. So I have Chicago going on, I have London, all of that stuff. All right, let me kill that a second. To make this work, though, I had to come in and put that field, wherever it is, into my global. Because I created a file, it's looking through that file, which was created off the global. If I had just left it in those individual projects, it would never have worked. So I just want you to know, if you ever want to combine projects and have a field apply to both projects, you need to go ahead and put it into the global itself. All right. I want to show you just a few keystrokes I really like. If I'm going to go ahead, let's say, and filter on something like resource names, I'll pull down and I'll filter on that, and maybe I'm just looking for where the developer is, and I'll say OK. And I've got that. Now, but let's say I want to go on to another resource. I can go ahead and hit Control F3. Isn't it Control F3? Yeah. How come it didn't do it for me? Oh, because it should have done that for me. Wait a minute. Let me try it again. I'll say use the developer. Now, to kill it, I'd do F3 would remove the filter, but if I go Control F3, I don't know why it's not doing it. Let me do this. Maybe they're combined right now. Hold on. Let me kill that and say OK. Let me just try this one more time because I know it works. So there it is. And if I do Control F3, it's not working. It usually comes up with the filter sign again. Oh, I know why it's not doing it. Use this one. There you go. Now we have the testers. We say okay. Now we say control F3, da-da. So it's not doing it from the auto filter because it didn't have a real filter to work with. But this is the way I can then get another group real easily without having to remove it and start over again. Control F3 just refreshes it. So you know, I think that can be very helpful and something you'd like to see. So F3 will remove all of the filters, and Control F3 will add something. A lot of people are not aware, or refresh it and let you go again. The insert key on your keyboard actually works. And the delete key on your keyboard actually works. And guess what you can do by accident? You can. And just out of curiosity, I've tried it in Excel and it doesn't work. So it only works in Project, which I think is really nice. Here's something else that a lot of people are not aware of, and I'll be honest to say I wasn't aware of it until lately. If I go ahead and double-click on a task, I get the task information, right? I'll kill that. I've clicked here, I can come up here and I can make changes. But some people like to do it right in the box. So there is two types of double clicks. The fast double click will open the box. The slow double click will give me the ability to edit it. Okay. All right, I'm going to go ahead and open another file. Am I telling you anything you hadn't known before? Anybody's learning anything new in here? Yeah, okay. Keep going, huh? All right. How are we doing on time here? Let's open this. How many of you have ever created a timeline view? I want to show you a few tricks that you can do with it. All right? So here you go. I'm going to turn on my timeline, and as you can see, there's nothing in there. Now, true, I got to move it over, but other than that, there's nothing in there. The key to making these look good, the absolute key is minimal data. You put too much in there, it's just a mess. All right? So, everybody in every one of their projects, they always have a key tasks or milestones that are usually very important for reporting. Now, what you might not be aware of is there's a column called marked. I like to use this. You can use a flag field just the same way. And I encourage people to go down and mark every one of those that are your key fields or your key tasks, key milestones, anything that you need for that regular status reporting. Then once you filter on it, and I'll just say, show me all my yeses. This could easily be the Gantt chart that you need to print to give to management or some status report of some sort. Now, I'm going to roll this up just a little bit so I can see it all. I'm going to select all of this. I'm going to right-click, and I'm going to click Add to the Timeline. And, okay, it didn't work. Let's try it one more time. Click this, go to Add to Timeline. I'm sorry, what? It's deselecting. Let's try this one more time. Did I do that? Okay, we'll do that. Do that, and then actually on mine I had one of these buttons is Add to Timeline right here. There you go. I've never had it deselect. Sometimes projectors get in the way. All right, now I played with the colors. I'm admitting it. All right, I played with the colors on this. But this does show you that high level. And by the way, if you want to play with colors, you just click in the box. You get the format bar for the timeline. And you pull down and you say, well, what color would I like? And let's make that yellow. All right. So it's very easy to do. You can go ahead and move these around, which is really very nice. I just think it's a great, great report. I'm going to click in there, and one of the things I really like to do is you can copy it for a presentation or paste it right into an email. So let's do it for a presentation. I'll go ahead and take that as a copy. I'll go ahead maybe and create a brand new presentation, paste that in there. Just hit print preview. And it's going to go through gyrations, but we have it. So you could actually maybe print this out or use this during some kind of a presentation or a status meeting of some sort. And let me get back into project here. Now, one thing that I think you might want to do quite a bit is not just, okay, I'm clicking on project and I'm getting PowerPoint. That's interesting. The screen sometimes doesn't cooperate. Let's try this again. It's literally just spinning around over here. I shouldn't have tried to go to another program. Oh my God. I'm clicking on the file we were in, and it's not coming back. It's going. And I think it's because it's trying to figure out what to do with this projector. Oh my gosh. I am so sorry. But where I was headed, and I'm hopefully that this is going to come back soon. Tim, can you help me on this? You see it spinning. Oh, you know what to do? This is Tim Runcie. He's another one of the fellow MVPs. I am connected. Everything was working until I went to PowerPoint and came back. What I do is I create a second column that I like to call phase. And in this second column, I actually put in it what are the phases of my project, because you might not want to go ahead and report on a whole long, big project. You might want to only report on it by phase. So we need to identify which tasks or groups of tasks actually belong to what phase. Then we actually can create a timeline for different phases. You can have as many timeline views in here as you'd like. And I was going to show you how to do that. Tim came to rescue me. Nothing's happening now.
Same problem on the,
did you? Oh. No, there's no project isn't installed on that. Well, then it doesn't record, and that's what they didn't want. Okay. Do what you need to do, Tim.
Go ahead, just keep going.
Ah, Tim was there. Wait a minute. Thank you, Tim. All right. So what I'm going to do, and hopefully, like, I'm going to go ahead in here now and try to see it's deselecting. So I'll do this way again, where I'll come up into here, and I will click this off. If you ever have trouble getting that, you can always go to Task Information, and I can add it to the timeline or remove it from the timeline there as well as a group. So now I'm going to hit F3 and open that back up again. So I'm not going to use the mark column again. So I just want the yeses. But now I'm only interested in the different phases of the project. So do you see I've got phase 1, 2, and 3 in here? So I will filter that down. And let's look at phase 1. And now I'm going to, we need to create this view first. So I'll come here, and I'm going to say more views, and I'm going to create a brand new one. And I'm going to call this one phase 1. And this will be a timeline view. And I will apply it. So This is phase one timeline view. I'll get the Gantt chart back down here. Okay, come on, Gantt chart with timeline. And right up here, just see where I'm on phase one. So now on phase one, I can say, I'll save it, right-click it, add it to the timeline, and that's up there. Now you can see this is what it looks like before you start playing with the pretty colors. So I'll come over here, click in there, hit format, turn that pan off, and I'll just change one of these so you can see what it looks like. But now I want to have one for phase two as well. So I will go back and come back over here again, and now go to more views, and I'm going to create another new one, and I'll make a single view, and I'm going to call this one phase two. And again, I'll do the timeline and click OK, and I'm going to apply it. See, that's all I'm seeing, and that's fine. Let's turn that timeline back on. I probably didn't need to apply it. And I can say I want to see phase two. So now I'm down here. I'll say, all right, I don't want one anymore, but I'd sure like all of two. And now I've got different tasks. And I'll go ahead and select those, and I'll add those to the timeline. And it should have not taken the original ones. It didn't. So let's click up here. We'll go to format. We'll turn this part off. And I want you to see that it's just got what represents phase two as a part of the overall project. So now you've got these out here, and anytime you want, you can come in here and say, okay, here's what phase one looks like, and here's what phase two looks like. Kind of easy, isn't it? Trick, create the view first. Make sure you're seeing it, and then add your different tasks onto it. Okay? Let's see, how are we doing on time? We have about 25 minutes left. You know what I wanted to do is give you guys some chance to ask some questions. If not, I've got something else I can do for you, but I did want to see if anybody had some questions. Yes? Okay.
I find that when I close my document and bring it back up, the formula is gone. It doesn't save the formula, and I can't
figure out. I'm really sorry. It should be doing that. It should be doing that. Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, in here, because I was going to show you something cool, here's flag fields. This file's been closed, and it has a formula in it. And it's been closed and reopened. So make sure you're saying okay. You know, maybe hit save an extra time. Oh, I'm sorry. What version are you in? Okay, try to go ahead and set that option because it's a field. No, fields don't go into the file. Fields stay with the individual file. They don't go into the global. So try to copy it into the global. Maybe that would make a difference. I don't know. I'm sorry, I've never heard that one before. Okay? Okay. How about another question? Yes. Oh, you want resource usage on the bottom? Okay. So we've got this on the top, and I'll click on the bottom, and we'll come here and we'll put resource usage on the bottom. Oh, okay. You're on Project Server. Yeah, okay, so what happens is you always see the detail on the current open project, but you always will see a summary on other projects. And that's just the way the software is written. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. Okay. Yeah, you have to go to a different view. She wanted to use that view. But if you go into, like, no, even on Team Planner view on the desktop, it will give you the summary of the other ones. That's the Team Planner view. On Master Project, yeah, you would see the detail of the open projects. That would do it. But it's doing it without a link between all the projects. All right, let me show you what I'm talking about here. All right. All right, let's just go back to this. Can I show you this while I'm here, and then I'll go answer your question? Because I thought this was really cool. I get people saying, how do we make formatting automatically happen on the Gantt chart? Do you see what I've got? I've got some purple here, and then it changes colors as it goes down. So this is what I did. I created this phase table here, and I said I've got phases 1, 2, 3, and then I set up some flag fields, all right? And what I discovered is when I'm going over here, and I'm going to come all the way down to the bottom here, I can actually, here, I can, the only custom fields I can get to are the flags. All right, that's it. So what I did was I made flag 1 be phase 1. And flag 2 is phase 2, and flag 3 is phase 3, on and on and on. I only did the 3 phases. And then what I did is created these with the formula in them that said, and I'll show you the formula, if it says phase 1, put a yes in here. If this says phase 2, put a yes in here. Now, it's not doing it for the summary because I only did the detail task, and on and on. And then I could say that each of these different phases could show up in a different color. Now, why couldn't I do this with some other values? I just have phases because I thought it was easy to demonstrate it with. Can anybody see any value in doing this? I think it could be helpful. I'm also asking you to be creative. I just used phases, but maybe you'd find something that might be more value to you. All right, so try that one. Pardon? Oh, I'm sorry. With the roll up. As long as other people looking at it understand it. Once you start changing for a whole bunch of colors and a whole bunch of different formatting, people might not understand what your intent is. So it became the standard in Project Server for everything that you're doing. If that's the case, then everybody is educated in that same thing. What I find, if you leave every project manager to their own devices, they come up with some real interesting stuff. Oh, yeah, I'd agree with that. Colorblind is something that's very, very important. I was working with somebody that was more doing things shape-oriented versus color-oriented just for that same reason, sir. I'd agree with that. The other thing is that particularly if you have people who are not within the company, do you want to give them a whole legend of what everything means? So I just caution about too much. I'm doing this on just maybe one view because I want to show it for something. But I've seen people do things like make every single one of these tasks be a different color. And it's interesting because I did ask one group once, well, what does the color mean? And the guy said, I don't know, I just like it. And that's good. But you could also use tracking with the percentage complete next to the milestone as well. That would, so you don't have to change it. If everybody's used to seeing it, I'd agree with that. Okay, so I'm going to close this. And let me show you what Tim was talking about here. So I'm going to close this and say, might as well save this stuff. Okay, go away. Let's try this again. All right, so now I'm just going to open, let's say, a brand new blank project. And I want you to know this is not in this list, but I think it's something that not everybody is aware of. So I'm going to take this and say save as, and I'll just go ahead and maybe stick it on my desktop, and I'm going to call it master project. But I'm also going to call it with links, all right? Now, maybe it's me, but I really like, first thing I usually do is put the project summary on. I just think it's a better way to go. Now I'm going to come in here and go project, sub-project, and you see this thing called link right here? This is something most people don't see. And what this says is when I insert this, do I want the changes to automatically go back to the master, the sub-inserted projects? But I want you to know if you do that, the resources do not combine across the projects. They don't. So when I go ahead, this is where when I work with companies, I say, let's have a standard naming convention for your resources across all your projects. So if I insert this with a link, and I'm just going to go underneath it and insert project 2 in there. And these projects do have resources in them. So now when I, come on. Oh, don't tell me this thing's going to be acting weird for me. I inserted these projects. Why can't I open them? It should work. No, well. No, there's nothing that says roll up. I don't think that's going to make any difference. It should expand. There it is. All right, so I've got this project open, and I'll go ahead and open the other one. Yep, I said all of them, so there you are. What I like doing about this is now I can go ahead and I can say group these down by weeks, and I'm actually seeing tasks coming out of both projects, but what projects do they come from? So if I insert the column called project, I actually get that information, which is really, really kind of neat. So there's software 1 and software 2. But when I go over to my resources, if I went over there to something like my resource sheet, you're going to see resource 1 through 8. See that? They have the same names, but they will not combine. But what this lets you do is if you make changes here in the master, it will update to the members. So a lot of people use this for reporting on the fly. They will use it just to put things together, just to see what's going on. And I'll tell you, if you're combining multiple projects, a lot of those other project managers are not too happy when you start changing things in their projects. Is that a popular thing to do? I don't think so. So let me show you plan B here. All right, I'm going to, and just so you know, when I did this, these stayed as separate projects. So now I'm going to, guess what, guys? I'm going to say no to everything this time. There you go, we're starting over. So now I'm going to have another one here, and I'm just going to go ahead and save this one back to my desktop. And I'm going to go ahead and call this one Master Without a Link. And I'll click Save. And again, I will turn on that project summary. And now I'm going to go back and do the same thing again, where I'm going to take the same two projects. And this time, I'm turning off the link. I need to tell you, this is never this bad. And I know it's this projector and all that stuff that's doing it. No, we're not sending the information in. We're going to try this one more time. Oops. There you go. Okay, while I'm doing this, let's see. Who would like to volunteer to help me? Oh, Bridget, you're good. Bridget, there's a cup there on the computer, on the projector. Bridget's going to walk around and put your business card in the cup. Bonnie gave me 4 books to raffle off that she's gone ahead and signed. And if you're interested in joining in the raffle, just put the business card in the cup, okay? So I'm going to turn the link off, and it should work this time. No. All right, what you would see is it would actually turn into one file. What it is a temporary point in time. If you make changes in the master, it does not go back to the members. However, the resources would combine. So when people say to me, I am interested in resource, I want to see my resources across the projects, all I have them do is go ahead and keep the names the same, and I'm saying down to the letter and the space. Keep the names the same, you insert them into the master without a link, and you look at resource usage, go ahead and insert the column. You cannot insert the column called project because it becomes one great big project at that time. But you will see all the work the resources are doing between as many projects as you've got. Now, some people say to me, well, what's the limit on this? Think about how many projects can you open at a time? Microsoft tells me technically the limit is 99 projects, but I don't think my system could open 99 projects at a time. I've had people open as many as 20, and they haven't had any trouble. And I need to say that I did this earlier today without this reaction. So I know it's the projection equipment doing this. And knowing that Tim had similar problems earlier makes me feel a little bit better. So it is a nice thing to go ahead and do just, but knowing the difference of the combining is a very big deal. Okay? Yes, sir. The read-only is kind of defeating the purpose because it's a dynamic link back to those other projects. I'm sorry. Right. Well, you could get the same report without the link. It's just not going to say what project it's from. But if you go ahead and create a column called project short name, you get that information. So then you insert the short name column in there, and you can now get what tasks go for what projects in addition to the resources combined. But take that short name field and make sure you copy it into the global or it won't show up. And then you populate it in both projects. Let's cancel this. It's never going anywhere. Okay, I got time, I think, for one more question. Anybody just dying to know how to do something? Anybody else have any other questions on this? We go on for days. I've done it.
Printing. Ah, good. Okay, that is also something that I hear asked quite a bit. Just for the recording, I want to repeat, it was to print a Gantt chart. Let me go ahead and open this up. I always feel old when I say this, but here it is. WYSIWYG, how many people know what WYSIWYG means? Okay, what is it? What you see is what you get, and that's what we got, okay? So if I have something like this, I can, and this is another thing where I like the print preview right here. There it is. All right, now let's go ahead and fix this thing. The first thing I like to do is go into setup, and I like to go ahead and turn this legend off. Let's get rid of that thing. But most people are not aware that there's some options over here. And these options are, this you might be interested in, particularly for the look over here. You can print the first three columns on every page. All right, that would be a really helpful thing. Fit the time scale to fit the page. We can try that. Let's take a look at how different it would look immediately. How about printing date ranges? You know, why do you really need to print the whole thing? Print some date ranges. Or if you need to print this much, if it was me, I'd say, why not just print outline level, you know, outline level 1 or level 2? Do you really need all that detail all the way down? So in my opinion, I want you to think a little bit more about what you really are trying to show. All right, now this is where also your work breakdown structure, the structure that you built it in the first place, really comes into play. If I go in and the way these are built, I'm going to go to the milestone filters, and then I'll bring this in. And what this is actually built to give me a milestone report that I can look at absolutely every single one of these, and the scope's going to be completed on the 20th. Then we go to analysis, and that's going to be completed on the 12th, and on down the line. So now if I'm just printing this, it's a lot more palatable. So define really what you need. Do you really need to see the next 2 years of a Gantt chart printed out? Summarize it. Get your outline levels to be able to be shaped more like this so you can get a better report. And I think that's where I'd probably go first. Define what do you really want it to look like. And it could affect how your work breakdown structure looks. You know, I want to get you out of here on time. Bonnie? So Bonnie and I came up with how we're going to do this. She gets the cup, I get the books. So we're going to do this fair. I'm going to hold the book up, Bonnie's going to pick a card, and you come get it. How's that? Go ahead.
I don't know how to pronounce this.
Okay, try. This guy works for Warner Brothers. Okay. Okay, and we got a Project 2010 book. And we have a screwy piece of paper. And this one works for Baxter. Thank you. No. Sorry I butchered your name. How about a Project 13 book?
I feel like Johnny Carson.
You're doing, yeah. The answer is, only you're talking to two people without glasses on.
Marcia Stewart.
From Deloitte. Marcia, here you go. And one left on Project 13.
No.
Yep, can't have the same one twice. Charlie Yee? There you go, sir. Okay, what I want to know is a couple things. Did you learn something new? Okay, good. I am so afraid to put the PowerPoint back up there. So here's what the last slide says. Thanks for coming.
go to my website. You can download these tips and tricks electronically. I'll tell you there's more presentations out there, not to mention 8 years of MPUG Ask the Expert columns. They're all out there on my website. Another thing is I do some open enrollment classes, and there is a flyer back there if you're interested. And write me if you want a copy of that toolbar, okay? Thank you all. I'll be around. If there's anything I can help you with, let me know.